The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
If I told you that we have not solved the mystery of the Malaysia Flight 370. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So that's the deal. Aircraft tracking changes mold after the 370 mystery. There are still some family members that feel like many of us do. There's more to the story than meets the eye. That it's simply not, we lost the plane, maybe there was an argument, maybe whatever happened, but the plane is gone, it's been down ever since it went missing off the radar. We talked about tracking aircraft by satellites, cloud storage of the black box information. Other technology advancements, innovations are being considered by aviation types in the wake of what's happened with this disappearance. I mean, it's become one of the greatest mysteries all of a sudden in aviation history since it vanished on March 8th during a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing with 239 people on board. But despite that massive international search in the Indian Ocean, no trace of the missing 777 has been found. No trace. The International Civil Aviation Organization is holding a special meeting in Montreal next week to discuss how to prevent a recurrence of the tragedy, as well as the mystery that surrounds it. Because the mystery is the killer part of this as well. How is it that we're missing all this? We're hearing pings, but then the one ping isn't as strong. There has to be a better way, and there is, in fact, and the airplane wasn't equipped with it. There are better ways to track that plane. Unfortunately, the access wasn't there. They didn't have it. Maybe that would have been a game changer if they had. And in my mind, I do ask that question, where is that plane? Where did that plane dump off the radar? And are they so clever that truly, then that would be the most amazing part of this, that something else has happened with it. They're re-racking the plane, and who knows where it's going to pop up, which is a conspiracy theory that's been floated. And people really believe that there is a possibility that something like that could be brewing. It would take a lot of coordination and work to even try to make something like that happen. I still think they may find the plane, but it's going to be years and years later, and it's going to be much different effect than if it was found right away. It's very, you know, the bottom line is it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy of epic proportions. And there's no end. There's no saying, we found your peeps. Sometimes that's what someone needs. They need to be able to go, see a grave, have a conversation. And that's not, I mean, that's just not looking very good at this point. Not anytime soon, anyway. And how many people are going to be part of the search for Flight 370 in the near future? I would have to think the number is pretty small. Hey, I was reading a story from the National Journal, and the story is interesting. It says, you know, the average Americans think they're smarter than the average American. What does that mean? Most Americans believe they're smarter than everyone else in the country. 55% of Americans think that they are, this is the numbers, that they are smarter than the average American. That's according to a new survey by YouGov, a research organization that uses online polling. In other words, let me explain it in a different way. YouGov points out that the average American thinks he or she is similar than the average, is smarter than the average American. Because there were some humble people in this, a humble 34% of citizens say they are about as smart as everybody else, while a completely dispirited, self-fulfilling prophecy, 4% say they are less intelligent than most people. Oh, that's sad. And maybe the results aren't surprising because in the West, we have a habit of inflating self-worth. We've seen that. The most competent individuals also tend to underestimate their ability, while incompetent people overestimate it, not out of arrogance, but out of ignorance. So the worst performers often don't get negative feedback. Wow. What does that say? They don't get negative feedback. In some cases, that might be a good thing. They can survive and thrive instead of being pelted by the negative news. You know, some people will do anything for a story. An ex-tabloidy editor says he hacked into Kate Middleton 155 times. 155 times, I would say, is excessive. The former News of the World Royal editor, Clive Goodman, is the one who admitted that he got into her phone 155 times. I'll say it again because that number is so shocking. And this is a royal reporter, Clive Goodman, hacked the phone that many times in 8 months. He admitted for the first time yesterday that had happened. He also frequently intercepted the voicemails of William and Harry. He was jailed for hacking mobiles and belonging to royal aides, the phones of royal aides. In 2007, he said he had not previously told police or prosecutors about the true extent of his hacking because he was never asked about it. Ugh. That is a twisted weave that they're putting on him there. I don't know. It always seems like the Duchess and the Duke, easy for me to say, of Kent are very easygoing. They seem to be very easygoing in taking their celebrity status, because it is that. They're taking it and using it at least for some good reasons, standing behind things and visiting people and whatnot. And I think that's a good thing. Even the visit to the United States, that's exactly what most of the focus was. So good for them. Good for them. How about these new pot theme? There's a new pot theme university in Denver, and it's drawing some big concern. People want to go to school now and learn about marijuana, cultivating it, how do they come up with a business plan, all that sort of thing. And cannabis in the classroom, as you can imagine, is a popular subject. So students might not do the marijuana 101 thing when they go through the catalogs at the universities, but there is a cannabis class, and apparently a lot of it has to do with the industry and how do you navigate the very new and choppy waters of marijuana in Colorado. All right, hang with us. I'm jumping the fence, and I'll meet you on the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar's lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Talking about Obamacare and whether or not the Republicans are going to push this to the limit, go for the jugular, really push the idea of repealing, not just talk to it and give it lip service and go out and stump for votes and try to get people really rallied around them because they know a lot of people are upset with the kind of coverage they're getting once they've got it and they're dumped from some other plan. So I thought it'd be fun to have on the show, for a really interesting point of view, Hadley Heath, the Director of Health Policy, the Independent Women's Forum. Hadley, thanks for coming by and spending some time with us to talk about this.
Of course. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, so here's the question. The Pew poll comes out, and the numbers are sky high that there's massive opposition to Obamacare. So who are the people that are saying this thing is so bloody good? I don't get it.
You know, there are a lot of people in the United States who still believe that Obamacare is not relevant to their lives, that they maybe haven't been affected yet, or they see premiums continue to increase. Maybe they're in an employer-sponsored plan in a business that isn't facing some of the mandates in Obamacare because the White House has delayed some of those mandates, or at least the enforcement of them. So I imagine that there are some people who may have a relative or a friend who's been able to get a subsidy, or they see that there are some winners. You know, sometimes when we talk about what a terrible law this is, we forget that there are some winners. Unfortunately, they're vastly outnumbered by the number of people who are losers under Obamacare. But if you do have anecdotal evidence that the law is working for somebody, I guess real persistent liberals might still show some soft support for Obamacare.
Yeah. It was just a couple of months ago that the Pew USA Today poll showed that voters really think this is a priority in November. So much so that the national survey then said that 64% of Republicans who are registered voters say a candidate's stance on the health care law will be very important in their voting decision. Very important, compared with 52% of Democrats and 45% of independents. I think the independents are a key demographic here. And then talking about, you know, how many approve and disapprove, which we have now with the new people. Do you believe it will have a massive impact on the midterm?
Absolutely. I think that Obamacare continues to be one of the driving issues because, among other issues, it really represents two diametrically opposed approaches to public policy, to government. If we want government involved in areas that the government has no constitutional purview, that the federal government traditionally has not played as big of a role, then this issue really tends to be a bellwether about the American public's view of the role of government in our economy, in our society, in making some of what we consider the most personal decisions in our lives. And when people are asked about the reason why they disapprove of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, of course, one of the top reasons they give is that it's simply too much government involvement in health care. So when we talk about Obamacare, sometimes what we're really talking about is the size and scope and role of government. That's why it's such an important issue, because it really represents which side of the bigger philosophical battle these candidates are on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So the Obamacare alternatives, what are the real alternatives that could work?
Well, you know, in addition to having a different approach to public policy, conservatives have a different approach to how public policy should be made and should be changed. Of course, one of the frustrations that the public has with Obamacare is that it's been very difficult to follow, difficult to understand. Of course, one of the reasons this Pew poll is so important is because many Democrats and supporters of the law said, let's wait until the law is fully implemented in 2014, then people will come around, then people will like Obamacare. But disapproval of the law persists. Pew is a very middle-of-the-road polling agency. They're not trying to throw the numbers in favor of or against Obamacare, but they're reporting on the facts. And conservatives, of course, want to change public policy in a way that is clear to the American public, that is not a 3,000-page bill, but perhaps is a stepwise approach to making changes. Of course, the first big change that should take place is complete and total repeal of Obamacare. But moving from there now, of course, not only has the political landscape around health policy changed in a post-Obamacare world, but there are very practical transition measures that Republicans have to take into account in their plans for people who maybe have signed up for Obamacare. What are we going to do with the people who believe that they are enrolled in an Obamacare plan? So those plans hopefully include some type of transition mechanism, but the end goal, Kate, is to get to a place where we have a more robust marketplace in health insurance, because we have almost never had that in the United States. We have a lot of market distortions, a lot of inequalities in our tax code that favor some consumers over others. And, of course, in some states, the sale and purchase of health insurance was already very tightly regulated before Obamacare. So the conservative vision for health reform is one where health insurance is customizable, that there is a diverse array of insurance policies available to people if you want a high deductible or if you want a low deductible, if you want catastrophic coverage or if you want comprehensive coverage, that consumers should be free to make those decisions rather than having the federal government dictate what's in every insurance plan for sale.
Yeah, I agree on the whole idea of competition, too. I mean, obviously, I think the prices would be way more affordable if you just erase the state lines. You know, if you just let people shop, then as an insurance company, you would be forced to look at all these alternatives, but you'd also have more people to feed and you'd have those numbers. Don't you think that would have made a big difference?
Absolutely. And I think, the concept of market competition that you're talking about is so important, not just in health insurance, but also in health care, because Obamacare's deepest flaw, one of its deepest flaws, is that it completely ignores economic incentives, and people respond to economic incentives even in an industry like healthcare, which we consider sometimes to be a basic need, especially if someone needs urgent care. The number of doctors and the networks that are available to people, the reimbursement rates to doctors, these are very important things to follow, as well as the sheer enrollment numbers, because of course we want there to be enough care, enough supply of providers, for example, to meet the needs of the American public, rather than Obamacare's approach, which is to give as many people as possible an insurance card. That's not the same thing as accessing quality health care services when you need those. So I think the focus also has to be less on health insurance and more on health care. And I hope that that's the direction that conservatives go with some of their alternative proposals.
Yeah, I agree with you. If that doesn't happen, and it's more of the same old, will Obamacare stick? I mean, will it just stay around and we'll be kicking this football down the field for decades to come?
You know, we can see this in some other government programs. I think Ronald Reagan said something like there's nothing closer to eternal life on earth than a government program. So unfortunately, even bad laws have some staying power when they metastasize or when they gain what we call a status quo advantage. And of course, before Obamacare, the system we had before, I believe the government and the state government already played too big of a role in making healthcare consumers' decisions for them. But it was very hard to change the status quo in 2010 when Obamacare passed. It will be difficult to change the status quo now, and the status quo now, of course, is Obamacare. But that doesn't mean it's impossible, and certainly polls like this one from Pew tell us that the American people would like to see us change direction.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Hadley Heath, Director of Health Policy Independent Women's Forum, thanks so much for the conversation.
Of course, thanks for having me.
And you heard what Hadley had to say there, that what happens, the Reagan quote was brilliant, because that's exactly what happens. It's going to keep staying. Are we going to tweak it a little bit? The Pew Research Center poll, in case you don't know it, when I talk about the disapproval, which came out late last week, of the law, it hit a new high of 55%. And this is really right on the heels of several polls that showed the law had very little, if any, kind of a bump after the signups on the healthcare exchanges exceeded the goals. So once it hit the goals, the previous high for disapproval of the law was 54% in Pew polling. That was at the height of the problems back in December, if you remember. So 43% of Americans disapprove of the law strongly. Also a record high. 41% of Americans currently approve of the law. That's higher than the record low of 37%. Oh, man. It'll be fun to watch this. Stay with us.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. mbrower@gcnlive.com. That's mbrower@gcnlive.com.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight. Looking down the list of what are possible blunders, I think, to kick things off on a Monday. Boy, there really is a slew of them, but probably the biggest is furniture, and shopping for furniture, apparently, when it comes to the IRS, they're freewheeling, baby, really willing to spend whatever it takes to make the office look fantastic, because guess what the bill was for the overhaul? $100 million. Now, granted, $100,000 perhaps each office, but $100 million on office furniture, that's what they spent. That is crazy. Now, I wonder why the IRS needs more money. They don't. It's insufficient funds for the facelift. Please give us more money for 2015. It just annoys you, doesn't it? Doesn't it just chap you to think about that? Do you know that that amount already exceeds what the agency spent during the entire 8 years under George W. Bush from 2002 to 2009? So currently, it's all kinds of things, millions to hundreds of thousands of dollars for each agency office. So it depends, as you kind of nitpick through the various offices, the regions, as to what was spent where and how much was spent in whatever situation. It's just ludicrous. And it's your money and my money. It is our money. Partitions, shelving, wood furniture, new chairs, showcases. Washington, D.C., the office got a $2.6 million new system furniture service facelift. It was completed in 2012. In Iowa, $1.8 million makeover. $1.8 million. Did I say that? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So a total of 3,700 plus contracts for some of the things that I mentioned. Some of them deeper makeovers than other places. For example, contracts show that hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent solely on chairs for the office in Haverhill, Massachusetts. $618,000 was spent on task chairs phase two. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Seattle and Austin, $1.1 million in new furniture. It's good to be the contractors, though, isn't it? Very good to be them, because they made some money. Here's an example. Herman Miller was one of the companies that was contracted. They had chairs that cost $1,209. Storage units that cost $1,749. Could they get not cheaper? They couldn't get cheaper chairs? They couldn't do that? Knowles, which was another contractor, their chairs retailed for $659. So another company awarded contracts claimed on its website it partners with the best interior product manufacturers in the industry. Well, guess what? We just paid for the three dreaded letters to have some of the best offices that you could possibly think of government-wise. Am I being hypercritical? Is it mean to pick on the three dreaded letters? I don't think so. $100 million on office furniture? Who's not going to be outraged by that when you look at our deficit? When you think of the way pennies are being squeezed in other directions. I get it if you have to get some new things. I mean, listen, I get they have to get partitions and some chairs and whatnot. But they had to go to the top contractor. They had to overall spend that much money. No way. Does not make sense. Doesn't make sense. All right, here's something else that doesn't make sense to me. Tiny Tim Geithner, one of the faves of President Obama, who I never thought was a good fit for Treasury Secretary. Some could disagree and say, oh, he's a brainiac when it comes to numbers, and you see what the boy genius was like at Goldman Sachs. But I'm sick of the Goldman connections. Who does it benefit? But he is no longer in that position. That goes to Jack Lew. What happens when you get out of office? You go and speak for a lot of money, and you write a book. So the former Treasury Secretary has written a memoir. It's over 540 pages. In his new book, he claims that the White House, on more than one occasion, tried to put words in his mouth or outright asked him to bend the truth. They asked him to lie. The memoir is called Stress Test, Reflections on Financial Crises. He talks about, here we go again with the talk show prep. He talks about a Sunday talk show prep session in 2011 where top White House advisor, one of the top White House advisors, wanted him to say Social Security didn't contribute to the federal deficit. Geithner said he objected to it. He said it wasn't a main driver of the future deficits, but it did contribute. He said that the line was a dog whistle to the left. Dog whistle. And Geithner said it was a phrase he had never heard before. He had to explain the phrase was code to the Democratic base, signaling that we intend to protect Social Security. So what else did he have to lie about? What else was he told to lie about? A couple of things. And this is particularly interesting because this is on the heels of UN Ambassador Susan Rice's controversial appearance on Sunday shows after the 2012 Benghazi attacks, where she said the same thing. Well, she didn't say that. But the talking points, the email came out, and it showed that she was being told what she was supposed to say. What was the line? What was the company line? And then there was this person named Stephanie Cutter, a Democratic operative who was handling communication strategy, who said we would have a pool spray, which is a photo opportunity for the White House press, where Cutler said the president would make a brief statement along with Tim Geithner about executive compensation, responding to a report that the Wall Street firms had paid their executives big bonuses while piling up record losses in 2008. Cutler said and handed him the text and said that what he was supposed to say was exactly that, that he was supposed to play down the executive bonuses, that he was supposed to skim the outrage. He was supposed to do that, not be ridiculous. But he said he thought it would look ridiculous on him. Thought it would look ridiculous and told her, I will not do it. I won't do it. They wanted him to really act it up. Really, really act it up. And he said he wouldn't comply. So apparently it is kind of like acting class. Here's your talking points. Here's the expressions you shall make. And this is where the X is where you're supposed to stand. That's embarrassing. So Tim Geithner heaps it on in the middle of the whole Benghazi thing. His memoir comes out at an interesting time, doesn't it? And then this last one, this is terrible. It's more than a blunder. A woman who wrote the fake Holocaust memoir has to pay back $22.5 million to the publisher. How do you do something like that? A Belgian-born Massachusetts woman admitted to fabricating a best-selling book about her experiences during World War II and the Holocaust. So she's going to pay back a whole bunch of loot. The judge ordered what he called the third and hopefully last opinion in the case back in the end of April, confirming a 2012 court ruling, setting aside a previous verdict of millions of dollars that she was were due to her publisher due to highly improper representations and activities. This is a 17-year-old story that started when the book Misha, A Memoir of the Holocaust Years, was published in 1997. This woman is now 76. So she rationalized her fraud, apparently, by saying that her parents' arrest and her subsequent harsh treatment at the hands of relatives who took her in and led her to being, to feeling like she was Jewish. But she was exposed in 2008 when researchers in the U.S. and Belgium said they couldn't find any evidence of her family in any Holocaust archives. In the intervening years, the book was translated into 18 languages, made into a French feature film, Surviving the Wolves. Oh, sad, sad, sad. Coming up, it's not sad. You'll be happy. We're going to go check the email next on America Tonight.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
So the mailbag is full, full, full. A lot of opinions about everything from the VA and whether or not they're cleaning up that backlog to the revelations about the numbers of criminals that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement group released while they were waiting for the outcome of their deportation cases. A couple of other things, too, as well. So on that note, let's go and check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This from Kevin, who says, can't believe it, 88 convictions. That is shaky nonsense to me. The majority of cases, I guess, might have involved some of the nonviolent offenses. Still, rapists, kidnappers, murderers, 193 murder convictions? Something's wrong here. What was the Department of Homeland Security thinking? Since when do we let murderers go free or assault convicted people or those who have kidnapped? I don't get it, Kate. How are they screwing this up so badly? They are screwing it up so badly. It's astonishing to look at those numbers. It's really hard to justify it. It really is. I just don't think you can justify it. What do you say to that? What do you say to the fact that that many were released? So, released on bond, parole, under various alternatives to detention while they were waiting to be processed, seems 10 shades of wrong to me. I mean, even the numbers that I said, 420-some sexual assaults. What if you were sexually assaulted and the guy was just let out like that? Okay, bye-bye, see ya. What? Thank goodness that we saw these numbers, because it's pretty darn lax to me. Thousands of convicted criminals freed, waiting for their deportation proceedings. Let them go. Let them fly like the wind. Hopefully they'll fly straight. Let's cross our fingers. Yeah. Why not? Got some other comments on that. Adam says, dead wrong. Can't do that, Kate. Don't understand it. Why would anyone in their right mind allow this to happen? Well, there's what you're talking about. Anybody in their right mind. Somebody not in their right mind would do that. Well, we're too backed up, so we're going to have to do this. It's not as bad as we thought it was. How do you weigh that? And I hate that. How do you weigh? Well, it wasn't that kind of murder. It was, a hot-tempered murder. Here's one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas. And Jake says, Kate, I am really astonished, but perhaps I shouldn't be astonished, by what I've read about the fact that the IRS is out there taking my money and your money, not only once a year, but they're also taking it to build this furniture supply and make beautiful offices. That's the way it sounds like to me. Sure, that's not the case in every single IRS office, but it's ridiculous that over $100 million was spent. There is such a thing as belt tightening, and so you don't spruce up the office until we're just blowing and going. Yeah, something is very, very wrong about that. Incredibly wrong. Okay, this one from Alicia, Kate Delaney, long time no talk. Hope you are doing well. Don't know if you saw this or not, but John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, for now anyway, is pushing Jeb Bush to jump in to run for president. I know you've talked about it on your show, but a Bush and a Clinton, if that were how it were to go, going up against each other? My, oh, my, as much as things change, other things don't. Yeah, John Boehner said he was just sort of, he said the word was nudging. He was nudging Bush to run for president, and he wants to take up the whole immigration mantle in the meantime in small pieces, starting with border security. Boehner, by the way, was at the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce during a question and answer session with the editor of Texas Monthly. And immigration, with these big midterm elections, I think it gets shoved into the background and may stay there for a while, despite how furious many of us are in putting it all together to see what happens. And you have to deal with this. You have to deal with immigration. Otherwise, it's like the ostrich who sticks his head deep into the sand. If you don't deal with it now, imagine how much worse it's going to be. Because I believe it's a lot worse than anybody initially suspected. Don't think that's going to change. All right, this one from Rick. Kate, did you see the defense secretary Chuck Hagel saying transgender military is actually under review. You got to be kidding me. Listen, it's one thing to have gays in the military. It's another thing to have a transgender person in the military. Hagel said in an interview over the weekend that the ban on transgender service members in the military should be revised. That he's open to assessments because he goes back to the bottom line of every qualified American and people who can do it. But he says it's the medical support for transgender troops in crazy locations that the transgender issues in regard to military service are an area that are not defined enough. I can see that, too. In March, the San Francisco State University, think tank released information talking about the transgender in the military and how that would be perceived and how safe somebody would be. They think there was about 15,450 transgender personnel who serve currently in the active guard and reserve components at this point. Really? It just seems so high to me. It seems, the number seems out of proportion. And they say there's no compelling medical reason. The U.S. Surgeon General says there's no compelling medical reason to maintain the ban. That they're open to assessments. And it goes back to that whole idea of Americans who are qualified, who want to serve, that should have an opportunity if they can do it. And it's just not defined enough. Countries like Australia, Canada, and the United Kingdom and Israel allow transgender people to serve in the military, by the way. So a simple ban on gay, lesbian, and bisexual service members, the don't ask, don't tell, was lifted in the U.S., as all of you know, in 2010. All right, let's kind of squeeze in another one here. I went off on a tangent. Paul says, hello, Ms. Kate. I have to tell you that I laugh out loud sometimes when I listen to you do We Can Count. You are so right, my dear. Our world revolves around numbers, not necessarily words anymore. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.